Chapter 14. Their names can scarce be read. Depend on it, all who care for them are dead. So went the tomb, whose shards were as path paving distributed. Over it and about men's footsteps beat, and wind and water spout, until the names, aforetime gnawed by weathers, were quite worn out. So that no sage can say in pensive progress near where they decay, this stone records a luminous line whose talents told in their day. Regret not me, regret not me. Beneath the sunny tree I lie uncaring, slumbering peacefully. Swift as the light I flew my fiery flight, ecstatically I moved, and feared no night. I did not know that heydays fade and go, but deemed that what was, would be always so. I skipped at morn between the yellowing corn, thinking it good and glorious to be born. I ran at eves among the piled up sheaves, dreaming, I grieve not, therefore nothing grieves. Now soon will come the apple, pear, and plum, and hinds will sing, and autumn insects hum. Again you will fare to cider makings rare, and junketings, but I shall not be there. Yet gaily sing until the pewter ring those songs we sang when we went gypsying, and lightly dance some triple timed romance and coupled figures, and forget mischance, and mourn not me beneath the yellowing tree, for I shall mind not, slumbering peacefully. The recalcitrants, let us off and search, and find a place, where yours and mine can be natural lives, where no one comes who dissects, and dives and proclaims, that ours is a curious case, that its touch of romance can scarcely grace. You would think it strange at first, but then everything has been strange in its time. When someone said on a day of the prime he would bow to no brazen god again, he doubtless dazed the mass of men. None will recognize us as a pair whose claims to righteous judgment we care not making, who have doubted, if breath be worth the taking, and have no respect for the current fames, whence the savor has flown, while abide the names. We have found us already shunned, disdained, and for reacceptance have not once striven. Whatever offense our course has given, the brunt thereof we have long sustained. Well, let us away, scorned unexplained. Starlings on the roof, no smoke spreads out of this chimney pot, the people who lived here have left the spot, and others are coming who knew them not. If you listen anon, with an ear intent, the voices, you'll find, will be different from the well-known ones of those who went. Why did they go? Their tones so bland were quite familiar to our band, the comers we shall not understand. They look for a new life, rich and strange. They do not know that, let them range wherever they may, they will get no change. They will drag their house gear ever so far in their search for a home no miseries mar. They will find that as they were they are, that every hearth has a ghost, alack, and can be but the scene of a bivouac till they move perforce no time to pack. The moon looks in. I have risen again, and a while survey by my chilly ray through your window pane your upturned face, as you think, ah, she now dreams of me in her distant place. Two, I pierce her blind in her far-off home. She fixes a comb, and says in her mind, I start in an hour, whom shall I meet? Won't the men be sweet, and the women sour? The sweet hussy, in his early days he was quite surprised, when she told him she was calm promised by meetings and lingerings at his whim, and thinking not of herself but him, while she lifted orbs aggrieved and drowned that scandal should so soon abound, as he had raised them to 9 or 10 of antecedent nice young men, and in remorse he thought with a sigh, how good she is, and how bad am I? It was years before he understood that she was the wicked one, he the good. The telegram, oh, he's suffering, may be dying, and I not there to aid, and smooth his bed and whisper to him. Can I no ho go? Only the nurse's brief 12 words thus hurriedly conveyed, as by stealth, to let me know. He was the best and brightest. Candor shone upon his brow, and I shall never meet again a soldier such as he, and I loved him ere I knew it, and perhaps he's sinking now, far, far removed from me. The yachts ride mute at anchor, and the falling moon is fair, and the giddy folk are strutting up and down the smooth parade, and in her wild distraction she seems not to be aware that she lives no more a maid, but has vowed and wived herself to one who blessed the ground she trod to and from his scene of ministry, and thought her history known in its last particular to him I, almost as to God, and believed her quite his own. So great her resentment in this she droops as in a swoon, and a movement of aversion mars her recent spousal grace, and in silence we two sit here in our waning honeymoon at this idle watering place. What now I see before me is a long lane overhung with lovelessness, and stretching from the present to the grave. And I would I were away from this, with friends I knew when young, ere a woman held me slave. The moth signal on Egdon Heath. What are you still thinking, he asked in vague surmise, that stare at the wick unblinking with those great lost luminous eyes? Oh, I see a poor moth burning in the candle flame, said she, its wings and legs are turning to a cinder rapidly. Moths fly in from the heather, he said, now the days decline. I know, said she. He weather, I hope, will at last be fine. I think, she added lightly, look out at the door. The ring the moon wears nightly may be visible now no more. She rose, and, little heeding, her husband then went on with his attentive reading in the annals of ages gone. Outside the house a figure came from the tumulus near, and speedily waxed bigger, and clasped and called her dear. I saw the pale wing token you sent through the crack, sighed she. That moth is burnt, and broken with which you lured out me. And were I as the moth is, it might be better far for one whose marriage troth is shattered as potsherds are. Then grinned the ancient Briton from the tumulus treed with pine. So, hearts are thwartly smitten in these days as in mine. Seen by the waits, through snowy woods and shady we went to play a tune to the lonely manor lady by the light of the Christmas moon. We viled till, upward glancing to where a mirror leaned, we saw her airily dancing, deeming her movements screened. Dancing alone in the room there, thin draped in her robe of night, her postures, glassed in the gloom there, were a strange phantasmal sight. As he had learned, we heard when homing, that her roving spouse was dead. Why, as he had danced in the gloaming, we thought, but never said. The two soldiers, just at the corner of the wall we met, yes, he and I who had not faced in Camber Hall, since we bade home goodbye, and what once happened came back all out of those years gone by. And that strange woman whom we knew, and loved long dead and gone, whose poor half-perished residue, tombless and trod, lay on. But at this moment to our view, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.